2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 6 and 7 says, "And now ye know," we ought to know this, "and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." We're supposed to know this. Now we know that the mystery of iniquity, which was already at work in Paul's time, is not much of a mystery anymore. The cup of iniquity is not going to get any more full. It's overflowing. But though the mystery of iniquity is not much of a mystery anymore, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Most people don't know the meaning of let or letteth. But it means to restrain. Who is restraining? Or to limit, or to resist, or to withstand, or to retain? Who is holding back the breaking loose of total evil and chaos on this earth? Who is he who now letteth? Could it be the church? Now, it's not really likely that it's the church, the bride of Christ, would be a he. Who is it that's holding down and limiting the killing and destruction that Satan wants to do on this earth? I know you believe in angels, so do I. The good angels are faithful and totally obedient to God, and they're protecting us and ministering to us by restraining what the demon evil angels who follow Satan might otherwise do to us. So do these good ministering angels have a leader? This great angel who is leading the resistance to the evil work of demons on earth might be he who now letteth. But even he is under the direction of the Lord of hosts. But Acts 17:26 makes it clear, I think, that God hath made from one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Mainly, God did not make any second class or subhuman or not authentically human people. That's the main thing. It really nails racism in any form as a work of iniquity.
Now, I will say this. If there was any such thing as a not authentically human person, it is these Luciferian, devil-worshipping followers of Satan who think they have a mandate from God to kill over 6 billion people. That's not authentically human. If there was such a thing as not authentically human, those people so consumed with the foolish idea that they can be God and serve God somehow by killing over 6 billion people, killing 90% of the people on this earth. Now that's not authentically human. And those few people who are in those highest positions of control in Lucifer's Antichrist global socialist government with teeth, yeah, if anybody could be considered not authentically human, it's those people.
God did not make any second-class human beings. Now, Satan's largest religion of Islam says otherwise.
And that's why you see hate crime legislation. Hate crimes do nothing but protect the guilty. That's why you see Islam being given favored treatment and not having the truth be told that Islam is Satan's largest religion. That's why you see these irrational things presented in the Luciferian-controlled mass media that would say something so irrational and so ridiculous that Islam is a peaceful religion. No, Islam is a religion of Satan. Every Muslim is going to hell, and every Christian has a duty. If you claim to be a Christian, you have a duty. We all have a duty to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them are sanctified by the faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hate crimes are to prevent the poor Muslim bound in Satan's largest religion from ever being set free. This is why Islam has a favored religion status in the New World Order of Lucifer, his Antichrist, prince, and false prophet Pope. This is why the Pope says the Muslims have a better chance at getting saved than the Bible believers, the people of the book, as Islam and the Pope calls us. We should understand these things. Central to Islam is jihad. It is the duty of every Muslim to kill every person of the book, Jews and Christians. Real Christians, the commandment observant Christians and Jews, people of the book. That is what Islam is all about, killing and enslaving those people. And this is why you have hate crime laws, to protect the guilty. There's no such thing as peaceful Islam. If they don't have any Jews or Christians to kill, they'll kill each other. What horrible bondage, and it's the duty of every Christian. It's the duty of every Christian to open their eyes, to get the gospel to these poor people bound in Satan's largest religion, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's our duty.
Muslims view all non-Muslims as fit only for killing or enslavement. And Lucifer's Antichrist, falsely so-called science of eugenics, says otherwise too. Like those pictures Richard got, they are really getting around, those pictures. You see those so many places out there on the net now. And they chiseled it in stone, what they plan to do. And with these flu shots, if enough people get these flu shots, those human bodies that receive those flu shots are like incubators. And all it takes is the right combination, and certainly as many flu shots as they're given out.
This combination is going to happen,
and they're going to have a very virulent and deadly form of mutation of this flu bug that they originally put together in the laboratory. It's going to emerge soon. You just watch for it. Some places they've already done the inoculations, and you just wait. You're going to see there's going to be an announcement soon of a super strong strain of this flu, which is mutated. And it's basically as a result of the vaccines. And that's how it works. Now, they're going to call it the second wave, but there's all kinds of other things that are going to happen. But you just wait. Now, thank God we got Psalm 91 and a few simple things that we can do that this probably doesn't have to affect us, but it's going to affect millions. Millions. Millions are going to die over this thing. But the Luciferian global control freaks have made it very clear that they fully intend to kill some 93% of all the people on this planet for their god of death, Lucifer. Those pictures, top line on there, just really spells it out. And it's good to see that how many people are finally picking up on it. But we, I think, should also understand that individual sovereign nation state governments are a great hindrance, a tremendous restraint to having a one world Antichrist ruler. Now, of course, Obama, he thinks that he should have the job, but that picture where Prince Charles is walking behind him when he's talking to Sarkozy with Gordon Brown and the Canadian Prime Minister walking there, that really speaks a thousand words on that subject. And though Obama is one of many antichrists in the world today, Obama is not the antichrist. He's really just a low-level buffoon. The truth is that Obama is not even an American citizen. And that's the thing that people ought to focus on, because there could be a delay in terms of what breaks loose on this world if the people would demand that this thing be opened up. But one thing everybody ought to be able to see is that Obama was put in office by an unprecedented fraud. Obama simply represents living proof of the end of the U.S. Constitutional Republic. The Constitutional Republic of America has been a huge obstacle not to let the global or one world government or the so-called New World Order be able to happen. Once America, once the Constitutional Republic of America has ended, there is not going to be any sovereign nation opposition to any world dictator. And it has been a tremendous restraint. Sovereign nations like the United States and England, who restrained and opposed Hitler's attempt at world dictatorship, has been a real block to what Satan, we know he's going to be able to do in these last days. The Antichrist of this new world order of global socialism with teeth, like the Pope said, is not going to have any individual nation-state opposition. And as far as the resistance or hindrance that individual nation-states posed to this one world rule, the United States was a big block. And certainly, he who now led it could not be the Holy Spirit. It would not be possible for anyone to say that Jesus is the Lord without the Holy Spirit. And we should know that the Great Tribulation will be the greatest time of glory and evangelism in the history of the church. There was once war in heaven when two-thirds of the faithful angels had victory over Satan and his evil angel followers. And there's coming another war in heaven, Revelation 12. In which he who now led it will be called to heaven. And when this war in heaven concludes, Satan and his evil angels will be permanently ejected and cast down to earth. And God may not send he who now ledeth and his angels back to earth. I think he will, but doesn't say he has to. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 goes on and says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." We have so much evidence. The evidence is everywhere. Of the multiplication of wickedness, the multiplication of evil, that it certainly seems to me that that Revelation 12 second war in heaven is history. It's happened. It's a done deal. Satan and his demon evil angels seem as though they have recently been cast out of heaven down to earth. I think it's somewhere between 9-1-1 and now that that war in heaven actually happened. But I think it's happened. And without the restraining work of the good angels under the direction of he who now ledeth, it will most certainly be great tribulation on this earth. Now, you know, we've revealed the positive identity of the Antichrist from the scriptures since 1993. And our blessed hope, the return of our King of Kings, I think there's good reason if this revelation 12 war in heaven has been concluded, that his return is going to be less than 3.5 years, less than 42 months, times. What I'm looking for is at day 1260, we should expect to see the image set up on Temple Mount. And at that point, everybody's going to be given 30 days to have the 666 mark ID implant in their right hand or forehead or be shot on sight at day 1290. Blessed is he that endureth to the 1335th day. I think God wants his people to know and be able to count down the days. The Antichrist's rulership of the world of this Luciferian so-called New World Order global government, I think it's going to be a very, very short-lived thing. And we're actually witnessing God shorten those days on the front end. And I think it's good that we do what we can in terms of shortening those days. And that's why I think this issue of keeping a focus on the fraud that Obama represents, living proof of the destruction of the U.S. Constitutional Republic, is important. It's an important event in the end-time scenario. I shake my head that there could still be any pre-tribbers left with what's going on in this world now. Most people, I don't think, can think about the level of evil that these people are into with engineering these viruses now and forcing huge populations to get vaccinated, which you know will ensure that there will be this combination of human incubators to produce a very virulent, very deadly mutation of this thing that they cooked up in the laboratory. But I think by now all the pre-tribbers, I mean, if they were thinking at all, should have become biblical post-tribbers by now. But we should expect now, I think, to start seeing some very great, powerful plays of force in terms of martial law, war, that sort of thing, and some big-time signs and lying wonders of Satan. Many church members who have not received the love of the truth will defect from the truth of Jesus Christ and follow the Antichrist in his war on the saints. But not to worry. Not to worry. We will have the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit's power ever in history. Ever in the history of the church. And all we need is faith to keep the command of King Jesus to love one another. Because faith works by love. It's going to be the most glorious time ever for the church. And we ought not want to miss it. Then it goes on, 2 Thessalonians 11 and 12, for this cause, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Now, if God sends a strong delusion that you receive, you're going to be strongly deluded. And for this cause, because they receive not the love of the truth, that's the reason. They're not going to the Word. They're not putting this Word in them. They're not getting their faith built up by this more sure Word. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Why would anyone want to follow the Antichrist? Because God shall send them strong delusion, so that they should believe a lie. What could this strong delusion be, that they may believe a lie? What is the lie? What is the lie? The lie is essentially the same one that Satan started with. The lie essentially has never changed. It may have a different sugar and coating on it, but the lie is still the same. Ye shall be as God. That's it. These people in this high levels of this Luciferian New World Order, they believe that they have a right to be like God and kill billions of people. Kill 93% of the people on this earth, and they think that they're doing a good thing to do that because they bought this lie. You shall be as God. And see, this is the common thread of the whole New Age movement. And this common thread is the gospel that's preached by the occult and all encounters with extraterrestrials. Do you know that? There's a common gospel among these demonic extraterrestrial encounters. The lie is the gospel of Antichrist, that you shall be as a god. And the core of this lie does not change, but we need to learn how to recognize the lie, regardless of the deception that Satan may cloak on it. And the reason is always the same why anyone believes the lie. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. The unrighteousness of pride and vanity and lawlessness. They have no interest in holiness or doing what God said is right. They don't even care what God said. They want to be God themselves. And they refuse to admit their need for a Savior. They want to do it their own way. Like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. And they will not submit to the way of God, which is holiness. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. This is a command. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the apostle speaking with the fullness of authority, the highest authority that was possible for a human being to speak. This is the fullness of authority. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know, we got to know this, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us. We are to follow the example of those apostles. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you, to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. We hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. We're commanded in the name of the Lord to dissociate from anyone who calls himself a Christian who will not commit himself to the way of holiness. Anyone who rejects the discipline of the church, which is the Word of God, the discipline of the Word of God, really. We are all sinners. Every one of us have sinned. And we all need to be beam hunters rather than moat hunters. We need to get the beam out of our own eye before we will try to help our brother get the moat out of his eye. The church is required to have the discipline of holiness. We are to work. We are to be productive and busy so that we will have something to share with our brother who is in need. We are not to see the nearness of the return of King Jesus as an excuse to just sit and stop working. We're to keep working so that we will have something to share with our brothers in need. Idleness is the devil's workshop. Paul says that if anyone would not work, neither should he eat. If we are busy enough, we will not have time to be a busybody. Did you catch that? If we're busy enough, we won't have time to be a busybody. Finds faults with his brother. But at the same time, we have this command of the Lord. While we are busy and productive and working, we have to be careful not to forget the command of the Lord Jesus to love one another. And at the same time, we're commanded to be not weary in well-doing. Never tire of ministering to the needs of others. Have no company with any member of the church who will not turn away from his sin. Don't count him as an enemy, but encourage him to make the necessary changes in his life so that fellowship may be restored. Do not compromise the standards of holiness, but don't shoot the wounded either. There's a balance, and sometimes tough love is required so that the standard of holiness is not compromised. We are going to need the full power and presence of the Holy Spirit to be overcomers, to be more than conquerors in this great tribulation. And the requirement for the fullness of the Holy Spirit's presence and power is holiness. We must love one another, but our very survival and victory and joy in great tribulation requires that we not compromise the standard of holiness. The end of the law is love from a pure heart, not feigned affection, and faith that is real, not unfeigned faith, not the kind of faith that's just for show. The law is good if it's properly understood. We are called to holiness because God wants to bless us. God must separate himself from sin because he's a holy God. And we must have the Holy Spirit to survive and be overcomers in great tribulation. We need his fullness of his spirit of holiness. I think in 1 Timothy chapter 4, five or six verses there, Paul gives an absolute perfect description of the New Age movement, of this Luciferian Antichrist New World Order. There are many who have already left true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and are plugged into the New Age movement in one form or another. I think the vast majority of churches have already brought in mysticism, emotionalism, occult practices that they Christianize. I mean, Benny Hinn, for example, he's a very accomplished hypnotist. People can't even recognize it. What he does is occult. And the one thing for sure is the lack of discipline. There's no reproof. And the self-idolatry, man, that's the purpose of the purpose-driven church. The Luciferian New Age movement, with compromise of the Word of God and abolishing true standards of holiness, I think it's just about full, complete. Just think about the purpose of the purpose-driven church. And what is the New Age movement other than total acceptance of the lie that you should be as God? You get in touch with yourself. You get in touch with your ascended master, your spirit guide, or even your visualization of Jesus. This is a cult. Whatever you want to call the seducing spirit to whom you give heed, when you contact and pay attention to the guidance of a demon, your conscience gets seared with a hot iron. And you won't even have a conscience anymore. Abstaining from meats, you know, the animal rights deal, environmental extremism. That's part of the demon foolishness of the New Age movement. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes as they're directed by the seducing spirit to whom they give heed. It's just like Romans 1, 22 and 25, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And this is what we see. And it's just about full.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup, or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing, multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying, some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come, and the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns when the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured a hundredweight and penny pound, when the man comes around.